I promise not to eat these during the sermon. It's a big temptation. But it's the one day of the year when I feel like I have permission to have a donut. And I give that permission to you as well. I also wanted to share with you that I brought forth the pumpkin not only as a symbol of the Lord and how we empty ourselves and we are filled with his light, but both my parents, my mom and dad, were born in October. We grew up on the farm, and of course we carved pumpkins. And in the evening, in the fall, we did not have electricity yet, so our only light was a kerosene lamp or a jack-o'-lantern with the candle inside. So this brings back very fond memories of my parents, and this is a tribute to them on this All Saints Day. So I pray that you will have a special time in your memory bank today to think about those of your loved ones who've gone on to be with the Lord. And when we celebrate communion today, remember this is the table where all the saints gather around. And this is a day to really rejoice that your loved ones are here with you in their spiritual presence as we receive communion from the Lord's table. This is a feast of the victory which is to come. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Blessed are you. God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing through Jesus, who is the promised blessing. The call first went out to Abram when Yahweh told him, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. All the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. You and I have received that blessing. In Isaiah, we read the words of the prophet, The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and freedom to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of our God's vengeance, to comfort all who mourn, to give them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, festive oil instead of mourning, and splendid clothes instead of despair. And they will be called righteous trees, planted by the Lord to glorify him. Luke's gospel tells of Jesus reading from Isaiah this same prophecy at the synagogue in Nazareth, Jesus' hometown. When finished, Jesus rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fixed on him. He said to them, Today, as you listen, this scripture has been fulfilled. In Matthew's gospel, we hear of Jesus leaving Nazareth and going into Galilee. As he was walking along the Sea of Galilee, Jesus invited the 12 to follow him, and he would make them fishers of men. Jesus went all over Galilee, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. Large crowds began to follow Jesus, and as we read in our gospel today, as he saw the crowds coming after him, he retreated to the mountain near Capernaum to teach the 12. This brings us to the Sermon on the Mount and his first teaching about the Beatitudes. I can imagine Jesus begins by saying, This is what I want you to know. This is about my mission, and I want you to embrace it as your own. But first, you must examine your hearts. I have been healing and setting people free from what has imprisoned them. You must learn from me, and it is important that you first of all examine your own hearts and your own attitudes. So the teaching begins. Blessed are you. This is a description of a believer's inner condition. Psalm 1 tells us, A blessed or happy man delights in the Lord's instruction, and he meditates on it day and night. He is like a tree planted beside streams of water that bears its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. He is hungry for the word of God. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Recognize that on your own, you are spiritually empty. By allowing God to meet all of your needs and to fill you with the living word and with his light, you become heirs of a kingdom of God. In Jesus, God became poor and preached good news to the poor. He was born in a manger. He constantly associated with the poor, embracing outcasts and healing the sick, and courageously advocated for poor people. Jesus came to minister to the poor. The poor are blessed not because they're poor, but because even though they're poor, they are loved. And because they are loved, people will share their wealth with them and help them meet their basic needs. What is in your heart regarding the poor is important to Jesus. Those who are poor in spirit need to be physically and spiritually fed. Blessed are you who mourn, because you will be comforted. This mourning is a sense of anguish for sin in our lives and in the world. Genuine repentance will bring comfort. The scripture suggests that God identifies with all people as he made in his image, both rich and poor alike. But God has a special place in his heart for the poor who are treated so heartlessly. When God comes in Jesus, he makes it very clear where he stands. He says, "Whatever you do to the least of these, one of those that most of you consider the least, the marginalized, distressed, disabled, disadvantaged, you do it unto me." Does your heart mourn for the sin and disparaging conditions of so many people in our world? Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Meek does not mean weakness, but a gentleness of spirit that shows strength. In Jesus' day, the word meek was often used to connote a quiet, controlled, internal strength of character in a person. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. As much as you and I work to be pleasing before God, we all have fallen short. Because we have been claimed by Jesus, it is his righteousness that we have been given. Does your heart hunger and thirst for that relationship with a righteous God? And does your heart hunger for others to know the love of a righteous God who says, "Come to me, all you who are hungry and thirsty, and I will give you rest." And Jesus' response to the Samaritan woman at the well, "Whoever drinks from the water that I will give will never be thirsty again, ever. In fact, the water that I will give will become a well of water springing up within for eternal life. It will spill over into the lives of all who God brings to you." Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. What is the attitude of your heart? When the disciples asked how often they were required to show mercy to someone, Jesus said, "If your brother or sister sins, rebuke them, and if they repent, forgive them. If they sin against you 7 times a day and 7 times come back to you and say, 'I repent,' forgive them." Jesus said to them, "If you forgive people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive people their sins, your heavenly Father will not forgive your sin. Blessed are the merciful, because they will be shown mercy." Mercy triumphs over judgment. Blessed are the pure in heart, because they will see God. What is the condition and attitude of your heart? Do you have divided loyalties? Jesus wanted his disciples to be pure or clean in heart. The word Jesus used for pure or clean is recorded as a word that was used to describe winnowed wheat and the unadulterated wine. A word suggesting motives that were not mixed. Jesus said it was essential for anyone who really wanted to be righteous to clean the inside of the cup thoroughly. So what does Jesus expect from his followers? Part of Jesus' answer to this question is just that, discipleship, or following carefully in the footsteps of the Master and incorporating his virtues into their character. Blessed are the peacemakers, because they will be called sons of God. Jesus came to bring peace to the human heart. To his disciples, he said, "Peace I leave you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Your heart must not be troubled or fearful. How is the condition of your heart?" Our hearts have been reconciled to God. We are now called to be peacemakers or ambassadors. Christ has given us the ministry of reconciliation. God is appealing through us, and we plead on Christ's behalf. Be reconciled to God. He made the one, Jesus, who did not know sin, to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God. Peacemakers also extends to our relationship with each other. Does your heart seek peace, not only with God, but with your fellow believers? Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness. Jesus knew that a heart totally committed to God and to his teachings would lead to persecution. He wanted his disciples to know that the consequences of a pure and undivided heart, what that would bring. For us, it is in imitating Jesus that all of us can learn how to embody the virtues he incarnated in his heart. In the Sermon on the Mount, the virtues of Jesus become our virtues because we have been given a new heart, an undivided heart, that makes our character like that of Christ's humility. In addition to humility, those virtues include empathy, self-control, righteousness, mercy, integrity, nonviolence, and perseverance. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavens in Christ. You and I have been chosen to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he has adopted us as children of the Heavenly Father. In him, we have redemption through his sacrifice, the forgiveness of our sins, according to the riches of his grace. He has given us a new heart, and together we rejoice, for ours is the kingdom of God. Amen.